Hi, this is Alan Nelson, your host for Rev Audio Magazine. Our guest today is Don Cousins, the author of a new book called Leadership. We're going to be talking today about how pastors can develop leaders in their churches, even if they're not gifted leading. Hey, welcome, Don.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's a privilege to be with you.
You know, I get a lot of books as editor of Rev, and a few sort of stand out to me, and yours is one of them. I'm pretty excited about it because I think, you know, admiration, someone defined, is that feeling you feel when you meet someone who's like you. So I like the content there. So give us the gist of leadership, and then we'll dig down a little bit deeper.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. I appreciate your affirmation. I'll take that as a word of affirmation and encouragement. My concern has risen over the last probably 10 to 15 years as I've seen a rising, what I call an overemphasis on the spiritual gift of leadership. And perhaps best defined with an illustration I tell briefly in the book about a pastor I encountered a number of years ago in the midst of my consulting. He called me wanting to know if I could perhaps spend a day with his core leadership team trying to help him figure out why their church had plateaued. He had pastored the church, started the church about a year and a half earlier. It had grown rather rapidly to about 150 and then completely plateaued. And they're just scratching his head as to why all of a sudden they had plateaued. So when I agreed to meet with him, of course, and flew down to his particular city, he met me at the airport. We began to drive back to the where the church was renting some office space. And we had some time to kill, and so we stopped for some lunch just to get better acquainted. In the midst of my conversation with him, I asked him to tell me about his spiritual gifts. Well, after telling me briefly about his primary spiritual gifts, at a point in time, he literally, physically, I could see his shoulders drop, his head kind of drop, and he said to me, Don, I don't have the gift of leadership, and I just don't know that I can build a great church. And I reached my Bible, and I said, well, can you tell me where it says here that you need to have the gift of leadership to build a great church? And he said, well, no, I don't know of any particular passage that says that. And I said, well, can you tell me where it says that you need the gift of leadership just to build a good church? And he said, well, no, I don't know of any particular passage. I said, well, where did you get the idea that you need to have the gift of leadership to build a church? And he said, well, it just seems that every book I read and every conference I attend just tells me leadership, leadership, leadership. And if you're not a leader, you can't lead. And you have to have the gift of leadership. And, you know, that I think would be just a typical illustration of what I have heard over and over and over again from pastors as I've been consulting, that the gift of leadership and even the conferences that are being held today, it seems that the majority of them are titled leadership conferences. Whereas if you think back when I was first years in the ministry, most pastors' conferences were called pastors' conference or shepherds' conferences or something like that. Nowadays, they're called leadership conferences, and the number of books being written on the topic, etc. And so it has many, many, many that are in leadership positions, specifically pastors, walking around thinking that the gift among all the spiritual gifts that they need to possess if they're going to fulfill their calling is the gift of leadership. And you know, Alan, I just don't believe biblically that's true. I just don't believe it's the case. And so that's just kind of the one of the core premises of the book amidst some other what I call heretical beliefs that I think are being communicated today that are putting pastors and leaders in general in more bondage than they are in a place of truth and freedom. So anyway, that's one of the messages that is at the foundation of the book.
Well, now, let me push back on that just a bit because I'm going to have a little fun with you because I know you were on staff at Willow Creek, and that just exudes leadership, that whole culture there. And so now I hear someone saying that you really can grow without that gift. I remember I wrote a book with Gene Apple a while back called How to Change Your Church, and one of the reasons they said they published is they were tired of people coming to these Willow conferences going home and imploding or crashing and burning. And what I think Len Sweet said one time, they go home and they find themselves up a Willow Creek without a Hivels.
Right.
So you're not denying the role of leadership, but you're saying the pastor who may not have that has a whole different kind of agenda or a strategic challenge, and that you can succeed, but you do it through others. So talk to us about that.
Well, I'm not denying that there is a gift of leadership. I wouldn't argue that there is or there isn't to the death. The reality is that when you read the four major passages in the New Testament that speak of spiritual gifts, I'm talking now about Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, I believe 13 and 14 as well, 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4, the word leadership never even appears. The word lead only appears one time in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, where Paul writes, "He who leads with diligence." So the fact that we would in any way make an emphasis of the gift of leadership when the word leadership doesn't even appear in those four passages, and the word lead only appears once, to emphasize that as a predominant gift would be a gross misstatement of Scripture. Now, at the same time, there is no doubt that there is this thing we call leadership, and it's throughout the pages of Scripture. Well, I think, again, we've misunderstood or misdefined. I remember when George Barna, I heard him in a radio interview, talk about the fact that we had a leadership crisis going on in America because 92% of the pastors that he had interviewed in a survey he had taken did not show leadership as one of their primary spiritual gifts. Well, the reality is that leadership is important, but leadership can be expressed through several gifts. And one of the prime examples of this in terms of the teaching of Scripture is in Ephesians 4, where we read in verse 11 that it says that he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, and then goes into verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. So in verse 11 right there, we have five different giftings that have what I like to call a leadership effect in the body of Christ. And I say a leadership effect because all of those gifts, in their own way, carry out the role of leadership as those gifts equip the saints for the work of service. So the Holy Spirit didn't commit a distribution error when he didn't give more people filling the pastorate the specific gift of leadership. And 92%, according to Barna's survey, didn't make an application error. it's that our definition and understanding of leadership is different than God's. And in many ways, we've adopted a model of leadership which is much like what we see in the world or in the marketplace. It's a CEO model. The reality is that God uses different gifts to have a leadership effect in the body of Christ. I think of a pastor that I worked with when I first got into consulting who was pastoring a church in what you'd call a mid-sized town. He had a church of nearly 2,000 people attending on his weekend services. And if you were to put him on take a gift assessment, which he had done many times, he did not score high for the gift of leadership, but he was off the charts for the gift of teaching. And as a result of a strong teaching gift, there were a couple thousand people that were coming to the church that he was teaching at primarily at the weekend services, and his church was having a significant influence within their community. Now, anyone who wants to say that he's not a leader, I would take exception with. I think he's a great leader. It just happens to be that his leadership expresses itself through the gift of teaching. So leadership expresses itself through more gifts than just one. It expresses itself through several gifts in terms of Ephesians 4:11, at least five different gifts. And what I want to do is communicate to those who have gifts of teaching or gifts of prophecy or gifts of pastoring or gifts of evangelism, you're a leader. It's just that your leadership expresses itself differently than that of what I call an organization-building leader.
Okay,
and people like Bill Hybels, for example, are organization-building leaders. God has gifted him with a specific gift of leadership. It's a gift that I score high on when I take the gift assessments, but I'm an organization builder as well. And other people out there, be it John Maxwell or I believe Rick Warren, other visible leaders that we know, would score high for the gift of leadership. They're organization builders. But most pastors out there are not organization builders, but yet they're still leaders in their own right through their own gifting.
Okay, Don, just a moment. Let me get real practical here, okay? Because, I know we're in a really short podcast, but the bottom line is when I'm a pastor of a church of 100, 150, go to a conference, hear, see, smell the leadership, go home, and then I just get back to normal. And I don't have a gift that will attract 2,000 to hear me preach. What is some really practical and encouraging advice that you can give to me?
Well, first of all, one of the great dangers and warnings I give, when you go to places, be it Willow, be it Saddleback, be it any other church that you go to, when you go home, you have to be careful that you don't go home and try and mimic what God did in that setting. God is about doing new works, and the degree to which we try and mimic or copy or imitate certain strategies which reflected the outpouring of the Holy Spirit within that context, I believe is a terrible mistake to make. And what I've encouraged pastors and those in leadership positions to do is, number one, to identify how God has gifted you. Identify how God has impassioned you, what God has put on your heart, and how your gifts and your passion express themselves in what I call the anointing of God. And when you identify that for you, your ministry should flow forth from that which God has gifted you to do, and how God has impassioned you, what he's called you and impassioned you to do specifically, so that this local pastor with a church of 150 needs to identify how he is gifted and how he's impassioned and where the anointing of God shows up in his life. And then focus his ministry on doing that which God has equipped him to do. And then what God has not equipped him to do, to find other people to fill in around him. And, you know, one of the dangers, again, and I refer to this in one of the chapters of the book, is that we've adopted another belief system, which is success is measured by numbers. You know, Alan, I believe that's a worldly way of looking at success in ministry. Success in ministry, biblically, is not defined by numbers. Not to say that numbers can't be looked at and noticed, and that there isn't something to be said for growing numbers. But to define somebody's ministry and to say, well, you're not succeeding because you only have 300, and you're really succeeding because you have 3,000, I believe would be an error. That's not the way that God defines success. Inasmuch as even throughout the pages of Scripture, in the New Testament in particular, whenever growth was caused numerically, which, by the way, we are only told of a couple times when we are even told of what the numbers were, like in Acts chapter 2. In all cases, it was always God causing the growth. And yet today we have adopted an idea that, well, certain strategies lead to numbers, or certain giftings lead to certain numbers. And if I were really gifted, then I would be seeing those same numbers. Well, again, that's not a biblical notion. That's a man-made notion. The reality is, and I could turn the deal back on you, the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the church in Galatia, churches in Galatia, etc., church in Corinth, how big were those churches numerically?
I have no idea.
Well, no, none of us have no idea. Well, if that was really important, you would have thought the Apostle Paul would have told us, right?
And we obviously know some churches were meeting in people's houses.
Well, we know from the book of Acts that there were thousands of people that responded, were told that they were at it, but yet, what was the cause of that? I mean, it very clearly in Acts 2:41, when we hear that 3,000 were added, I mean, who would credit Peter or the apostles with being the key to that kind of a growth?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And none of us would credit them. We'd credit the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 47 in chapter 2, we read, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." It wasn't a man, it wasn't a woman, it wasn't a particular gifting or a particular strategy. It was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that resulted in those numbers. And in that case, we're simply given the number, I believe, as an indication of the degree to which the Spirit was being poured out. But throughout the New Testament in total, we are told very little about numbers. So I think we have to be careful about putting too much emphasis upon numbers as the ultimate indicator of God's anointing on one's life and ministry.
Don, I cannot believe it. We are out of time, and it's just a wonderful encouragement, I think, especially to so many pastors who are just road weary from hearing all the megachurch stories of super numbers and size. And so tell us, give us your website. How can we learn more about what you're doing?
My website is simply doncousins.org. And you can go there, and Experiencing Leadership, as you mentioned, is a book, but it's more than a book because it's a system, and the book is simply the first of three resources in a system which is intended to help leaders fulfill their calling based on their gifting to equip others for the work of service, which is what leadership in the body of Christ is all about. It's equipping others for the work of service. And so the book is step one, and then there's an application guide, which is actually coming out September 1st, that is intended to train leaders to function as equippers, which is what the Bible calls them to function as. And then there's a third resource called Experiencing Leadership Together, which is intended to help leaders build their small group or specifically ministry teams. And so it's an entire system intended to help leaders function as equippers, and then in turn as equippers to, in fact, equip their people to carry out the work of ministry. So my hope in the end is that leaders would be free to lead as God has equipped them to lead out of the gifting he's given them, and then in turn to equip people in the body of Christ to fulfill the ministry that God's put on their hearts. So they can go to my website, read and learn more about not only the book, but the overall system, which I trust will serve them and help them as they seek to fulfill their ministry.
Great. Thanks a lot, Don.
Al, thank you so much.
If you'd like to learn more about Rev Magazine, go to rev.org and discover the most practical church leader periodical. I'm Alan Nelson, wishing you God's best in your ministry.